For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Pop fly, shallow right. Racing in Suzuki. Still coming, still coming. Makes a sliding catch and the runners have to hold. Not the easiest play because both Horner and Bush, the infielders, ran out into right field. Suzuki running in. Very distracting, but Suzuki made an excellent sliding catch and avoided contact. That was an athletic play. Here's a drive into left center field. Deep. This ball's got a chance. Gone. Two-run homer, Dansby Swanson. Cubs lead 2-0. A line drive over the left center field fence. And there are some Cub fans here in Arlington. Here's a swing and a smash to third. Loved by Young. Go to second. There's one over to first. That's in time, and the ball game is over. 5-4-3 around the horn, twin killing. The name of the other guy, Virgil Trucks.
Virgil.
Virgil Trucks. The ball game is over. The Rangers have made it 2 in a row. The final tonight, Texas 11 and the Cubs 2.
Jr., his first home run of the season. It's a two-run shot, and the White Sox are on the board.
Here's Braden Shoemaker.
Gets a hold of this one. First pitch to right. It is gone! Braden Shoemaker, his first career major league hit, and it's a home run. We are all tied at 3 apiece here on the south side.
2 balls, 2 strikes, the count on Dominic Fletcher. And a swing and a miss, strike 3, that's the ball game.
Well, this was a game where the Sox battled back. They gave up 3 in the first, got them back, took a 6-3 lead, but unfortunately did not score another run after that.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Well, well, well. Good morning to you, Chicago baseball people. My goodness, it's good to be on. It's good to be alive. It's great to be alive, in fact. My late dear friend Lynn Bramer, thinking of you all weekend, and I'll be thinking of you more tomorrow when the Cubs home opener takes place. What's up, everybody? It is Matt Spiegel here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Lots going on today, but we are going to get right to it. Our first show of baseball's regular season in the midst, and the phone lines are now open at 312-644-6767. I love talking baseball with you. A few guests along the way. Steve Stone is going to join this show every once in a while this year, and he will do so at the top of the next hour. So we talk White Sox with Steve Stone, including about Luis Robert, the superstar. On display yesterday, my goodness, the headline for Luis Robert's performance is this: 29 pitches seen in his 5 plate appearances. How about the at-bat against Alex Lang, who has been the closer in previous years for the Tigers, but there in the 7th inning, facing Luis Robert, he falls behind 0-2 on swing and miss curveballs, and then takes 4 more. Granted, they were all out of the zone, but goodness, he's watching, and this is by design, on some of the stuff that used to kill him. I'll get to that. Luis Robert, and there's a great quote from him postgame. But anyway, Steve Stone at 10 o'clock. Sam Blum from The Athletic will go national with us in the 11 o'clock hour. He covers the Dodgers and the Angels. Let's talk about Ohtani and his bets and not Mookie. But let's see if there's any life on that story or where Sam thinks it's going, if anywhere. And we'll check in on the absurd Dodgers, who I am rooting against. I don't know if any of you are with me, but I know all they did was exploit a loophole that any organization could have, but I just found it all so unseemly and distasteful. And granted, I'm a kid who grew up a Red Sox fan and hated what Larry Lucchino ended up calling the evil empire of the Yankees all of my childhood. I still, in my fantasy league, I don't have any Yankees. I would rather lose with no Yankees than win with Yankees on my fantasy team. That said, last year I won with no Yankees. It can be done. It can be done. Got to talk about that fantasy league at some point because it's just a cavalcade of baseball people, and absurdly so. Also, a brand new Cub, Garrett Cooper. Let's get to meet Gary Cooper, shall we? What happened to Gary Cooper? Strong, silent type. Anyway, we'll talk to Garrett Cooper at about 9:45. But until then, we talk to you and take your phone calls. This is a disastrous beginning to the Cubs season in terms of exactly what you hoped would not happen, exactly what you thought could not happen, and you probably would not be able to survive has already happened. And now you're two games in and you have to survive. By the way, you are indeed listening to Hit and Run as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Tomorrow, join the Score and BetMGM at Sluggers in Wrigleyville before the home opener. Bernsie, Holmes, and Rahimi will be broadcasting live from 10 to 12:45, followed by Zach Zabin's pregame show until first pitch. And then after the game, Danny Parkins and I from Parkins and Spiegel will be doing our show from Pat and Ron and Zach's broadcast booth there at Wrigley. Very much looking forward to all of that. But here we are, the Cubs 0-2, and Kyle Hendricks got beat up last night by perhaps the game's best lineup. I mean, the Rangers are outrageous. They were outrageous for most of last year, and then, of course, in the playoffs. And now they've added a couple things, one of which is this kid, Wyatt Langford, the fourth overall pick in last year's draft, fast-tracked in a short minor league stint, brought to spring training with a chance to make the team, and then he did. Thought Eduardo Perez nailed it the other night when he looked at him and said, his arms look a lot like Paul Goldschmidt's. Yeah, they do. And he's athletic like a young Goldschmidt was. Wyatt Langford's a really good player. So now he's added in. And you saw Kyle Hendricks not execute, as Craig Counsell called it. Kyle has to hit his spots perfectly, and he usually does. That's what makes him good. It's what makes him certainly survivable with the quality of the fastball. The changeups are good. The curveball can be good. But that sinking fastball, if it's not working in concert with the other stuff because he's not spotting things exactly correctly. And then that sinking fastball, if he doesn't get it exactly where he needs to, and all of that mixed in with him not throwing off the timing enough because of the mix, well, it's kind of a sitting duck for guys like Jared Walsh and certainly lefties like that, but also righties. So Hendricks just blistered last night. And then there was Ben Brown, and we're going to talk a lot about Ben Brown in our next segment, okay? But let's think about what the Cubs can do and what they cannot do at this point to survive. Not just, you know, a Hendricks rough start. You're going to send him back out there another good 20, 25 times. You know, maybe 30. You certainly hope. But the injury to Justin Steele is devastating. To backdrop the conversation, here's Craig Counsell pregame yesterday talking about the severity of the injury and what it means for the short and perhaps long-term future.
Yeah, so the MRI showed a grade one hamstring strain, which frankly is like as him, we saw him walking off the field, is probably better than, like, at least I anticipated. and just how he was walking after the game last night. He's much better today. Played catch today, which is a great sign. I think he's going to miss the month of April. And then after that, beyond that, it's really about just, in a couple of days when his kind of like gait gets back to normal, laying out a plan. And then at the end of it, it's just it's how much can we do with his arm kind of going up to when we're healthy. And then it gets more complicated with starters on these guys returning to play. How many times are we going to make him go out? Are we going to have him go out and pitch before he pitches for us?
Craig Counsell, so look, there's a chance that Justin Steele could start doing a rehab assignment before the end of April. There's a chance, and that would be best case scenario, and that would probably mean he's back early May, second week of May, something like that. But that's best case scenario right now. I mean, it's entirely possible that you don't see Justin Steele in the Cubs rotation for 2 months. That's entirely possible. We'll see what happens, but that's usually when you're making decisions on your roster after like 60 games and you're like, okay, let's look where we are. Let's think about it now. And maybe we'll start to look at trade possibilities. You have to be having some of those conversations already right now because you were having them in the offseason anyway. And as limited as the options are now, and we'll get to why they're so absurdly limited right now, you'll deal with stuff internally, but man, this division, you can get in trouble early. And I'm not saying they have to make a trade here in April, and it's very, very rare that that kind of thing happens. But those conversations, I bet you, will have already taken place. Like, okay, who's realistically going to get dealt between now and the deadline? And they've known some of that. And then which of those teams are really even going to consider it? Because if you look around this league and think about the likely trade targets during the offseason, many of them have either been traded, like Tyler Glasnow is now with the Dodgers and they're going for it, or Corbin Burns, who's now with the Orioles and they're going for it, or a lot of them have been extended as well. Zach Wheeler signed an extension. Tyler Glasnow signed an extension. And then if you look at like the biggest and best free agent pitchers at the end of this season who might be available, most of them are on teams that are going for it. The Braves are not going to give you Max Fried. Hell, Scherzer and Verlander aren't even healthy, but they're on their way back and they'll be free agents at the end of the year. But those are on the Astros and the Rangers. They're going for it. You know, there's very, very little that you can even conceive of. I mean, Nick Pivetta is going to be a free agent. The Red Sox aren't going to consider themselves out of the division yet. That's just an example of like the conversations you end up in. To me, there are two teams who might realistically be interested early in making a deal. And one is the Cleveland Guardians with Shane Bieber and Carlos Carrasco. Bieber was great on opening day. To me, it's like Bieber's a free agent at the end of the year. Every start that Bieber makes is a little bit of an injury scare, akin to the way we talked about the White Sox and Dylan Cease. If you really were going to trade him, then you needed to trade him before the season. Cleveland, if they're really going to trade Shane Bieber, then at some point it becomes diminishing returns where you're costing yourself a start for the team that's trading for him and you're risking injury every time you throw him out there. Are they going to consider such things when they're in a division that is, gettable theoretically? I don't think they'll consider it early, but you certainly make that call and check in. Hey, when are you guys going to consider that, by the way? Just so I know whether to check back in. But they've got you over a barrel now. Early in the season, it's big-time seller's market. The only other team that with unrestricted free agents to be on the pitching staff that might make some sense is the New York Mets. But one of those, Luis Severino, is trying to prove it there with the Mets, just got absolutely destroyed in his debut. Given up, I think it was 6 earned runs. So, look, there's very little that you're going to be able to entertain and get done. You're going to have to deal internally. And I loved seeing the call-up of Ben Brown, not Hayden Wesneski, not Thomas Pannone, who's a lefty who could certainly give you, you know, four, five, maybe six innings. He's a starting pitcher in the bigs. But Ben Brown, who, if given a chance in the rotation, has the stuff to really miss bats and be very, very good.
Oh, hell yeah.
Last night was obviously very bumpy, and we'll talk about his debut specifically in our next segment, okay? But just know that that was aggressive in-house, more aggressive than Wesneski or Pannone, or just bringing up somebody to be in the bullpen. I mean, although Ben Brown might, I mean, hell, he might be in the bullpen. We'll see how this is going to get played. He was certainly in the bullpen last night. I expect him to get a start the next time that spot comes up. I could be wrong, and maybe we'll see Smiley in a bullpen game. But I think there are some benefits to the way that Ben Brown got his debut last night. But let's discuss what's going on with the Cubs and the White Sox. I want to talk about it with you. Obviously, these first 2 days retroactively make the offseason strategy look bad. When the quote is there from Jed Hoyer the day before the season begins that we know we're going to have to use our depth at some point, and then literally, you know, 14 hours later, you're watching Steele hobble off and knowing you're in a lot of trouble because that's your ace. That is your only real top-of-the-rotation pitcher that you can feel great about right now. So retroactively, it does not make the offseason plan look great. Jordan Montgomery, obviously Blake Snell, these were options, but we found out from Jed that they were not options in terms of when the Boris Four was still out there. They chose Bellinger. And Jed said the other day with Mully and Haw, they were not going to be able to get two of those guys. They were able to get one, and they chose Bellinger. They're going to spend more money this year. It was going to be at the trade deadline. You know, it might have to be a hell of a lot sooner than that. We'll see if it's even possible. Matt Spiegel is me. Hit and Run is where you are. You, the listeners, 312-644-6767. Hop on in. Let's talk Cubs. Let's talk White Sox. Garrett Cooper at 945. Steve Stone at 10. Your calls and your texts all morning long on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
We're back with more Hit and Run.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball.
On 670 The Score.
No crying.
Well, you probably heard the news. The Cubs placing Justin Steele on the 15-day injury list earlier today. And taking his place on the roster, Ben Brown. Ben Brown acquired from the Phillies by the Cubs in the deal that saw David Robertson being traded from the Cubs to the Phillies about two or three summers ago. And so Ben Brown will be on the mound right here. He has pitched several games in the minor leagues, but this is his big league debut for the Chicago Cubs, Ben Brown.
I got a chance to see him throw a few ball games in spring training. In his last couple outings as a starter, they were outstanding. Just dominant, big fastball, good breaking pitch, but very live arm, mid-90s at least fastball.
Pat and Ron talking about Ben Brown. Yeah, Ben Brown, a 33rd round draft pick. And goodness, it was exciting yesterday early in the morning when you saw that Ben Brown was the call-up and was coming to Texas to play with the Cubs. Sean Sears, our producer here on Hit and Run. I, of course, am Matt Spiegel. We'll talk to Garrett Cooper in about 20 minutes, Cubs first baseman. We'll get to know him a little bit. But, Sean, you were psyched to see Ben Brown come up, right? That's aggressive, and that's a good sign.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you were just saying. It's you want to see the Cubs start using these players. They're getting to the point now where it's time to kind of figure out who are going to be pieces on this Cubs team. Ben Brown's one of those guys who – I think if things had gone a little bit better for him towards the end of the season last year, would have been a guy that debuted last year. So it's
yeah,
nice
if he stayed healthy, Sean, if he stayed healthy, he was going
to
be a bullpen option in September, and that might have affected that Cubs slide. That's for sure. We had Boog Shambi on Parker the Spiegel the other day, and we were talking about Craig Counsell's comfort with bringing up kids. Think of the Brewers' young teams over the past several years, and every year, even last year, boy, Bryce Terang looks good. Boy, Sal Frelick looks good. Oh, who are these guys? There's a crossover between the need to be efficient, as the Brewers have been, in terms of their salary, their payroll, and their budget, and also a willingness and a comfort to work with young players. So, look, Owen Casey has started out at AAA 5-for-6. You know that Pete Crow Armstrong is an option at some point, as he was last year. Matt Shaw will be an option at third base. We are already seeing Ben Brown. I will be surprised if the Cubs are in it and looking viable in the second half of the year if we don't see Cade Horton. Frankly, I'll be surprised if we don't. But, you know, we'll see. That one's a little further away. He's not even on the 40-man. Kevin Alcantara? I don't know. There are a lot of young options that you will see up quickly, because that has to be the plan when you didn't go out and decide to spend like a true behemoth and go out and get over that first tier of the tax right now. So, look, let's talk about Ben Brown's debut. It was rough, but he is not alone. I've got some awesome comps from our guy Chris Kampka that I'll get to in a minute. But the first inning looked pretty damn good. Here's Ben Brown dealing with Josh Young of the Rangers.
And the next offering swung on and missed. Nice changeup by Ben Brown. Ben looking over at the batter saying, "You ain't nothing but a hound dog."
And there you have it right there. Boy, after some really good fastballs inside, one away, and then the off-speed pitch down and away, had Young well out front.
I don't know the context of the Elvis reference. This is fun. Sometimes you come in and you catch little bits of it. For instance, if anybody knows the answer to what was in our open with Pat Hughes saying the other one is Virgil Trucks, anybody knows the context of that, please text in at 312-644-6767. Because I've got some great Virgil Trucks information that I'd like to share, but I need to know the context of why his name came up on the Cubs game last night and in our open this morning here on Hit and Run. So first inning, Ben Brown, he gets out of that inning and looks pretty damn good. Second inning, with that strikeout, second inning was an absolute disaster, capped off by another Josh Young at bat.
Now Brown glances back at the runner and deals. This ball is drilled in the air, deep left field. It's going to be a long home run. Second deck. Young, a two-run homer, and the Rangers have broken the game wide open with a six-run rally here in the eighth inning, and they lead 11-2.
An inning and two-thirds total for Ben Brown in his big league debut. 5 hits, 6 runs. They were all earned. 2 walks, 1 strikeout, and gave up that one home run. There was some shady defense behind him. Dansby Swanson got eaten alive by a real hot liner and got an error. It's a tough error. Tough error, I thought, for Dansby Swanson. Then there was a Marcus Semien line drive to third baseman Christopher Morel that went off his glove with the bases loaded. And that was not an error, right? I know it wasn't scored an error at the beginning. Did they take the error away from Dansby as well? I see no errors on the official scorecard. So that's interesting. They must have taken it away. So, because I heard it scored an error at first, and they must have reversed it. I heard Pat and Ron was in the car for that, and I heard Ron say, "I bet whoever scored that, the official scorer, has never played shortstop in the big leagues." That's what he said. It's very funny. But the Morel one off the glove, it's a hot line drive. I know you can't give the error there, but man, bases loaded. That's a double play. You know, for a good, experienced third baseman, grab it, and you'll catch a runner, whether it's off your own base and you dive over and tag the base, or you throw over to first. I mean, that is a double play. Hell, if it was a little softer, that's how triple plays happen. I'm not saying that Christopher Morel dropped a triple play. I would let it go through his glove. But I am saying that's a play you have to make.
I might be, though.
That it was a triple play? Did you think it was a triple play?
When it came off the bat, at first I was like, oh, man, maybe. I was like, for sure, yeah. Double play. And then
Too hot. Usually a triple play line drive is hit like awkwardly soft where it throws off the base runners. That's really what you need, right?
You need some type of...
Yeah, some odd little, like a broken bat, half bloop kind of thing is when it happens, unless everybody's moving absurdly quick. But anyway, Ben Brown, a rough start. You'll hear Kyle Hendricks in a minute with great context on it. But I asked our guy, Chris Kampka, via text this morning, and Chris Kampka, now at Marquee. He will be joining the show this year at different times, but he's got a full-time traveling baseball job with the Marquee broadcast, working with Boog, and I'm thrilled for Chris Kampka. First time traveling with a team, having moved over from NBC Sports Chicago, and that's a big milestone in and of itself. You grow up and you want to be a baseball guy. Kampka now traveling with the Cubs and the broadcast as a baseball guy. I'm thrilled for him, man. That's just so cool. But I texted him this morning. I said, okay, we know this is Ben Brown's first game of, he hopes, a lot. It's a brutal MLB debut. What's the best career for anyone who's had a stat line this bad in his debut? That was my question. 1 2/3, 6 runs all earned. So he looked at this. I decided to look at 3 or fewer innings pitched, 5-plus runs allowed in debuts since 1990. Those are the parameters that Kampka chose. And you look down and you see that among players who had a god-awful debut and went on to long and good MLB careers, like you hope Ben Brown will, Carlos Carrasco of Cleveland, Matt Garza, the former Cub, and Ray. John Garland absolutely torched in his debut with the White Sox. 3 innings, 8 hits, 7 earned runs in 2000. And went on to a very fine career and a World Series champ. How about Chris Carpenter, the great Blue Jay and Cardinals starting pitcher, torched in his debut? It happens. Then a couple relievers with good long careers. LaTroy Hawkins, the former Cub, who's now in the Vikings, in the Twins front office. Julian Tavares had a good long career as a reliever, torched in his debut. Hell, Steve Avery back in the day in 1990, the young Brave, had a terrible debut and a pretty good, if short, career. So anyway, Ben Brown, a lot more coming. Here is Kyle Hendricks talking about Ben Brown's debut and what he saw last night.
It was so awesome just to see him get out there, man. And that first inning with nails, things happen, you know, starts going fast on you. My first inning, I walk 3 guys, I get up 3 runs. So there's a lot that happens there. It was so cool to see him out there. He's going to have such a long career, man. You know, get comfortable up here. And this is just the first of many. So he's got a lot left.
First of many, he's got a lot left. That's great perspective right there from Kyle Hendricks on the Ben Brown debut. Let's take a couple of your phone calls here. In a moment, but I'm told that Virgil Trucks was being talked about as being one of 4 pitchers to have thrown 2 no-hitters in the same season. Got it. That's awesome. Virgil Trucks had an incredible fastball. Ted Williams used to say that Virgil Trucks had the toughest fastball for him to hit, but that's not why I wanted to tell you about Virgil Trucks. Virgil Trucks, the pitcher, a very good pitcher for Detroit first, and he bounced around, was a White Sox pitcher briefly in the 50s. But he was the uncle of a guy named Butch Trucks, who is a founding member of the Allman Brothers Band. And any Allman Brothers fans out there probably know the name Butch Trucks. Virgil Trucks' great nephews are Dwayne Trucks, who was in the band Widespread Panic, and Derek Trucks, who was in a great band called the Tedeschi Trucks Band with his wife, Susan Tedeschi, and was also in the Allman Brothers Band for a while. And one of the greatest, you know, slide guitarists, one of the greatest jam band guitarists on the planet is Derek Trucks. So that's Virgil Trucks' great nephews. That's right in my wheelhouse, man. And for you, the overlappers who join me sometimes on a Sunday morning, the music people and the baseball people, Virgil Trucks and his nephew Butch and his grandnephew Derek, is an essential part of our lexicon. Let's go to John in Naperville on 670 The Score. John, let's talk some Cubs, White Sox, and MLB here on Hit and Run. Good morning.
Good morning, Speaks. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Cubs. You know, Council's done a great job. Ben Brown is going to be a huge part of this staff, so I'm not worried about that. But I wanted to get your opinion on the Cubs' pitching landscape, this pitching-to-contact mentality. Is that going to work in today's Major League Baseball landscape? Because it feels like when I'm watching them, they have to play an absolute perfect game. They have to prioritize defense. And I just don't know if it's feasible to do, you know, play like that an entire season against a juggernaut like Texas or a team that can really hit. I just want your opinion on whether or not this is viable for the entire season.
You know, it's thanks, John. It's tough to feel great about it, frankly, at this point, because now you've lost Steele. Last year, we talked about it a lot, but the defense was terrific. Now this year, you're making some sacrifices for defense when you play Morel out there, because developmentally, it makes sense to give him a shot and see if you can find a position for him, because he needs to play every single day that he's healthy enough to play. I will say this. Shota Imanaga has a lot of swing and miss in his game, and we'll see it. It might not be in some of the classic ways you think, with like the fastball blowing people away. It will sometimes on the high end of the zone, but he's got a wide arsenal. And remember, he struck out more than Yamamoto did in Japan last year. Also, Jordan Wicks has a ton of swing and miss in his game because that changeup is so awesome. So let's get a couple times through the order with Imanaga and with Wicks and maybe with Brown if he does start. And then let's look at where they actually are. But in terms of front of the rotation, blow guys away, bat misser like Garrett Cole or, you know, those people, yeah, they need one. Thing is, Blake Snell's not really that dude. Jordan Montgomery is a little bit more of that dude. I mean, Snell is sort of, I suppose, but like, I don't love Blake Snell because he walks a lot of dudes. He walks a lot of guys. Montgomery, I would have been happy with that signing, for sure. But they're going to trade for one, or they're going to call up the ones they have in house. Cade Horton is that guy. So I think we know that stuff is coming. We just don't know exactly when. And now it needs to be more aggressive. One more call. This is Mike in Mendota. Mike, you're on 670 The Score with Spiegs here on Hit and Run.
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm good.
Good to hear you on a Sunday morning with baseball season back in.
Thanks, man. Good to be here.
I have a detailed question, maybe even a little bit early to be asking this, but I noticed last night that Ben Brown, while he came from the minors with some really good stats, his fastball got pounded last night. And it looked on TV, I watched every pitch he threw, and it looked like his fastball, while he had good velocity, it was flat with little or no movement. And I'm wondering if you get a chance to talk to Hotterby, if they're going to work on developing some two-seam pitch or cutter or something with his velocity being very good, if he can get some late movement on those pitches, because these major league hitters can hit 95 if it's level and if it's flat.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. That's one night and one look in the debut, and who knows if the nerves were kicking in, and a very good lineup. Let's give that some time. The fastball for Ben Brown, he's got a very high release point. He's obviously got that good velocity, but it is supposed to have a decent amount of movement. It is purported to have a decent amount of movement. So in terms of what it actually does, you know, let's give it a couple of outings to see what the Savant numbers tell us about the spin rate and the movement, and give ourselves a chance to check him out a little bit more. But usually if you're throwing it that high, It's got a lot of spin because it resists the gravity a bit more, and so it's got some of that ride, some of that carry, that absence of drop. I agree it didn't look a ton like that last night, but let's give that a little time. Callers, hang on. Thank you so much for calling in. It's Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, here on 670 The Score. Steve Stone and the White Sox at the top of the hour. Let's get to know Garrett Cooper, Cubs first baseman, a guy who's been around the bigs for a while. We'll talk to him next on Hit and Run.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Darvish ready. Here comes the 2-2. Uh-oh. That one hammered to left. Darvish with Schwarber back there looking, and that one is gone. Garrett Cooper will touch them all as he deposits it into the bleachers, and the Marlins have jumped out 1-0 on the blast by Cooper. How about that?
Well, Cooper has missed a couple of hanging sliders today, but he doesn't miss this one. And with that wind blowing straight in from left field, I can't tell you how centered he must have hit this ball. I mean, that ball should have probably come back into the ballpark and just barely gets out. But wow, what a big blow for the Marlins.
That is our guest, Garrett Cooper, with a home run as a member of the Marlins at Wrigley Field. As Garrett Cooper, the Cubs' first baseman, joins us right now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It's been a few years, Garrett. It'd be nice to hit one as a member of the Cubs starting tomorrow or later this week, huh?
Yeah, we're just hitting that one in Chicago. There's always some sort of destiny to come back and play for the Cubs after that home run against them.
Yeah, that's the last postseason home run at Wrigley Field at this point. So we're gonna need you to hit one as a Cub later on this year. Is that okay?
Yeah, we'll try and do that.
All right, good. Garrett Cooper joins us. The longtime Miami Marlin, a Padre as well, made his debut with the Yankees. We'll get to all of that. But youngest of seven, fifth boy to play baseball in the family. I'm the baby. I'm youngest of five. Kind of nice to be the youngest, in my opinion.
It is. You're definitely treated a little bit differently than everybody else in the family.
Yeah. And then in high school, how good was Giancarlo Stanton in high school, Garrett?
Oh, man. He had a guard in basketball, and I played football as well. What he is today, that kind of beast, he was about maybe 10 pounds less in high school and about the same stature and trying to guard that in basketball. And I'm not small by any means, but he definitely pushed me around like it was nothing.
Yeah, 6'5", 235 is Garrett Cooper now, according to Baseball Reference. But Giancarlo Stanton with that physicality, it's kind of, you ever see Derrick Henry, the running back for the Titans in high school, that footage?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So that must have been what it was like, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Giancarlo was back squatting, 650 or whatever Derrick Henry was on those videos, but I'm sure it was pretty close in Stanton's prime days.
Yeah. So 4 years in the Brewers organization after being drafted there. In those Milwaukee years, how much did you deal with Craig Counsell on the way up? He was in the front office, I think, for the first couple of those years, and then the manager. So did you guys had a relationship? I'm sure.
Yeah, we definitely in spring training. I think he was there. Yeah, he was there most of the time, I think, even 14, 15, 16, and 17. When I went over to, the big league camp and spring training, we just, we got to know each other and, got acquainted with him. And, I think having that kind of, familiarity with a coach and with the manager, definitely played into the decision of, choosing the Cubs and, coming on board here and, just, feel like I made a great decision coming here.
Good. You made your debut with the Yankees after a trade there at Fenway Park against the Red Sox. That's incredible. Butterflies at that point?
Oh, man. I honestly, I don't even remember the first game because it was just, it felt like it wasn't real, you know, going from AAA in Colorado Springs, you know, to Fenway as the Yankees Red Sox rivalry. I don't even know if, you know, a kid could, you know, even put into words, you know, what that moment was like to do it, you know, especially like a park like Fenway and, you know, that rivalry. But I think the 0-for-4 with three punchies in my first game in the big leagues, Yankees fans weren't too happy with, you know, with how I started my career there. So, you know, it took a couple games to get a hit, but, you know, I felt like I played really well there. And, yeah, it was a fun experience to, you know, be a part of the Yankees, you know, that legacy.
0-for-4 with three punch outs. Well, that's good news for Ben Brown, who went, what, one and two-thirds, gave up six runs. It's like sometimes your first one can hurt a little bit, but, I mean, you've been in the big leagues for 8 years, made an all-star game. Ben Brown's got a lot of good ball in front of him, right?
Yeah, you take that and move on. You know, it's a learning experience. You're facing the defending world champions. The lineup is a very good hitting lineup. You know, you just tell them, you know, you want to soak it in, the experience. But, he probably felt, you know, that was a tough outing. But, you know, he's got plenty of years ahead of him, you know, 10 plus years of, you know, with that velo and, you know, that curveball. You know, it's small adjustments, and, you know, he'll have a long career.
So Garrett Cooper is with us, the Cubs first baseman. Every time your name gets mentioned, my producer on the afternoon show, because I do Monday through Friday, 2 to 6, Chris Tannehill, he immediately reaches for his favorite folder of sound clips, and it's from The Sopranos, and he always plays this.
And I always wonder, what happened to Gary Cooper, the strong, silent type?
So every time your name gets mentioned, and I wonder if you ever went by Gary, or, like, you know, if you had to deal with Gary Cooper coming up in your life that much.
Yeah, I think it's honestly been more, you know, prevalent as in the big leagues when a lot of people, you know, bring out that scene. I've heard that scene and for about 8 years now. So it's definitely, you know, a lot of people like to use that and social media and stuff. But, you know, I never went by Gary. I was always always Coop or Coopaloop, you know, growing up. So that was always my nickname.
Wow. So other markets, other, like, radio markets have gone to The Sopranos for that exact scene?
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. Well, you know, it's pride of the Yankees, Gary Cooper. He considered himself the luckiest man on the face of the earth as Lou Gehrig. You could do worse. Yeah. Oh, God. Garrett Cooper, does it feel like there's a fit here? You know, I mean, obviously you were battling with Dominic Smith and we're figuring out what they were going to do with Alexander Canario. And now Patrick Wisdom's hurt and he'll come back at some point. Like, how does it feel as a fit? And what are you hoping for?
Yeah, you know, I think anytime, you know, as a free agent in the off season where you're making a decision where, you know, you think the best opportunity is, you know, to come in and, you know, win a job essentially on an NRI is never an easy thing. You know, playing 7 years up here, you know, I felt like I've done a lot of good things in my career. But, you know, especially just talking with, you know, Jed and Carter and, you know, in the off season and listen to what they had to say, and, you know, just, I think there's a fit, and, you know, I ran with that fit, and, you know, we're here right now, and, you know, I think as the year progresses on, you know, facing lefties and, you know, DHing, and, you know, anytime, you know, Bushy has, you know, a day off, you know, get in there first, and, you know, I think it's been a great fit so far, and, you know, I don't like to look in too far into things in advance. I'm not that type of guy, and, you know, you just take it day by day. You know, whatever happens, happens. And, you know, you never take a day for granted up here in the big leagues because it is a tough league. And, you know, there's a lot of good players up here. So, you know, you just try to take it day by day and make sure, you know, you're doing all you can that day. So, you know, definitely the fit here is great. And all the guys here are great. And coaching staff, everyone I've, you know, come in contact with in the last month or so is, you know, it's been a good ride so far. So just got to get that first win out of the way.
All right, good stuff, Garrett Cooper. Well, welcome. Nice to get to meet you a little bit. I'm sorry that Yale took care of Auburn in the first round of the tournament. Your alma mater.
That was a tough one.
Yeah, there's no Yaleys around the Cubs, I don't think, anymore. Craig Breslow's gone. Theo's gone. Like, those were the Yale guys who might give you crap. So I think you're safe.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard. I had them going pretty far in my bracket too. So it was a first day exit. You know, tough loss.
Garrett, enjoy yourself here and enjoy tomorrow for that home opener, man. I'll try to say hello. It's a special day.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
You got it. That's Garrett Cooper joining us, and by us I mean me, Matt Spiegel.
And I always wonder what happened to Gary Cooper, the strong, silent type.
I Tanny's going to be crushed that other radio markets have had that same idea for Garrett Cooper. You know, I'll break it to him. I'll break it to him gently. He's on a weekend vacation away, but I think he'll be okay. I think he'll survive. Enjoyed that. All right, let's flip the script here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. A couple hours to go. Happy Easter, by the way. Steve Stone will join us for our first conversation of the year with Stoney. Let's talk about Luis Robert, the superstar, on display and ask some Michael Kopech relief questions and more. To Steve Stone next on Hit and Run.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Pop fly, shallow right, racing in Suzuki, still coming. Makes a sliding catch and the runners have to hold. Not the easiest play because both Horner and Bush, the infielders, ran out into right field, Suzuki running in. Very distracting, but Suzuki made an excellent sliding catch and avoided contact. That was an athletic play. Here's a drive into left center field, deep. This ball's got a chance. Gone. Two-run homer, Dansby Swanson. Cubs lead 2-0. A line drive over the left center field fence, and there are some Cub fans here in Arlington. Here's a swing and a smash to third, loved by Young. Go to second. There's one over to first. That's in time, and the ball game is over. 5-4-3 around the horn, twin killing. The name of the other guy, Virgil Trucks.
Virgil.
Virgil Trucks. The ball game is over. The Rangers have made it 2 in a row. The final tonight, Texas 11 and the Cubs 2.
First home run of the season. It's a two-run shot, and the White Sox are on the board.
Here's Braden Shoemaker.
Gets a hold of this one. First pitch to right. It is gone! Braden Shoemaker, his first career major league hit, and it's a home run. We are all tied at 3 apiece here on the south side.
Two balls, two strikes, the count of Dominic Fletcher. And a swing and a miss, strike three, that's the ball game.
Well, this was a game where the Sox battled back. They gave up three in the first, got them back, took a 6-3 lead, but unfortunately did not score another run after that.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Well, well, well. Good morning to you, Chicago baseball people. My goodness, it's good to be on. It's good to be alive. It's great to be alive, in fact. My late dear friend Lynn Bramer, thinking of you all weekend, and I'll be thinking of you more tomorrow when the Cubs home opener takes place. What's up, everybody? It is Matt Spiegel here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Lots going on today, but we are going to get right to it. Our first show of baseball's regular season in the midst, and the phone lines are now open at 312-644-6767. I love talking baseball with you. A few guests along the way. Steve Stone is going to join this show every once in a while this year, and he will do so at the top of the next hour. So we talk White Sox with Steve Stone, including about Luis Robert, the superstar. On display yesterday, my goodness, the headline for Luis Robert's performance is this: 29 pitches seen in his five plate appearances. How about the at-bat against Alex Lang, who has been the closer in previous years for the Tigers, but there in the seventh inning, facing Luis Robert, he falls behind 0-2 on swing-and-miss curveballs, and then takes four more. Granted, they were all out of the zone, but goodness, he's watching, and this is by design, on some of the stuff that used to kill him. I'll get to that. Luis Robert, and there's a great quote from him post-game. But anyway, Steve Stone at 10 o'clock. Sam Blum from The Athletic will go national with us in the 11 o'clock hour. He covers the Dodgers and the Angels. Let's talk about Ohtani and his bets, and not Mookie. But let's see if there's any life on that story or where Sam thinks it's going, if anywhere. And we'll check in on the absurd Dodgers, who I am rooting against. I don't know if any of you are with me, but I know all they did was exploit a loophole that any organization could have, but I just found it all so unseemly and distasteful. And granted, I'm a kid who grew up a Red Sox fan and hated what Larry Lucchino ended up calling the evil empire of the Yankees all of my childhood. I still, in my fantasy league, I don't have any Yankees. I would rather lose with no Yankees than win with Yankees on my fantasy team. That said, last year I won with no Yankees. It can be done. It can be done. Got to talk about that fantasy league at some point because it's just a cavalcade of baseball people, and absurdly so. Also, a brand new Cub, Garrett Cooper. Let's get to meet Gary Cooper. Shall we? What happened to Gary Cooper? Strong, silent type. Anyway, we'll talk to Garrett Cooper at about 9:45. But until then, we talk to you and take your phone calls. This is a disastrous beginning to the Cubs season in terms of exactly what you hoped would not happen, exactly what you thought could not happen, and you probably would not be able to survive has already happened. And now you're two games in and you have to survive. By the way, you are indeed listening to Hit and Run as we broadcast live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Tomorrow, join the Score and BetMGM at Sluggers in Wrigleyville before the home opener. Bernsey, Holmes, and Rahimi will be broadcasting live from 10 to 12:45, followed by Zach Zabin's pregame show until first pitch. And then after the game, Danny Parkins and I from Parkins and Spiegel will be doing our show from Pat and Ron and Zach's broadcast booth there at Wrigley. Very much looking forward to all of that. But here we are, the Cubs 0-2, and Kyle Hendricks got beat up last night by perhaps the game's best lineup. I mean, the Rangers are outrageous. They were outrageous for most of last year, and then, of course, in the playoffs. And now they've added a couple things, one of which is this kid, Wyatt Langford, the fourth overall pick in last year's draft, fast-tracked in a short minor league stint, brought to spring training with a chance to make the team, and then he did. Thought Eduardo Perez nailed it the other night when he looked at him and said, his arms look a lot like Paul Goldschmidt's. Yeah, they do. And he's athletic like a young Goldschmidt was. Wyatt Langford's a really good player. So now he's added in. And you saw Kyle Hendricks not execute, as Craig Counsell called it. Kyle has to hit his spots perfectly, and he usually does. That's what makes him good. It's what makes him certainly survivable with the quality of the fastball. The changeups are good. The curveball can be good. But that sinking fastball, if it's not working in concert with the other stuff because he's not spotting things exactly correctly. And then that sinking fastball, if he doesn't get it exactly where he needs to, and all of that mixed in with him not throwing off the timing enough because of the mix, well, it's kind of a sitting duck for guys like Jared Walsh and certainly lefties like that, but also righties. So Hendricks just blistered last night. And then there was Ben Brown, and we're going to talk a lot about Ben Brown in our next segment, okay? But let's think about what the Cubs can do and what they cannot do at this point to survive. Not just, you know, a Hendricks rough start. You're going to send him back out there another good 20, 25 times. You know, maybe 30. You certainly hope. But the injury to Justin Steele is devastating. To backdrop the conversation, here's Craig Counsell pregame yesterday talking about the severity of the injury and what it means for the short and perhaps long-term future.
Yeah, so the MRI showed a grade one hamstring strain, which frankly is like we saw him walking off the field is probably better than like at least I anticipated, and just how he was walking after the game last night. He's much better today. Played catch today, which is a great sign. You know, I think he's gonna miss the month of April, and then after that. You know, beyond that, it's really about just, you know, in a couple of days when his kind of like gait gets back to normal, laying out a plan. And then at the end of it, it's just it's how much can we do with this arm kind of going up to when we're healthy. And then it gets more complicated with starters on these guys returning to play. How many times are we going to make him go out? Are we going to have him go out and pitch before he pitches for us?
Craig Counsell, so look, there's a chance that Justin Steele could start doing a rehab assignment before the end of April. There's a chance, and that would be best case scenario, and that would probably mean he's back early May, second week of May, something like that. But that's best case scenario right now. I mean, it's entirely possible that you don't see Justin Steele in the Cubs rotation for 2 months. That's entirely possible. We'll see what happens, but that's usually when you're making decisions on your roster after like 60 games and you're like, okay, let's look where we are. Let's think about it now. And maybe we'll start to look at trade possibilities. You have to be having some of those conversations already right now because you were having them in the offseason anyway. And as limited as the options are now, and we'll get to why they're so absurdly limited right now, you'll deal with stuff internally, but man, this division, you can get in trouble early. And I'm not saying they have to make a trade here in April, and it's very, very rare that that kind of thing happens. But those conversations, I bet you, will have already taken place. Like, okay, who's realistically going to get dealt between now and the deadline? And they've known some of that. And then which of those teams are really even going to consider it? Because if you look around this league and think about the likely trade targets during the offseason, many of them have either been traded, like Tyler Glasnow is now with the Dodgers and they're going for it, or Corbin Burns, who's now with the Orioles and they're going for it, or a lot of them have been extended as well. Zach Wheeler signed an extension. Tyler Glasnow signed an extension. And then if you look at like the biggest and best free agent pitchers at the end of this season who might be available, most of them are on teams that are going for it. The Braves are not going to give you Max Fried. Hell, Scherzer and Verlander aren't even healthy, but they're on their way back and they'll be free agents at the end of the year. But those are on the Astros and the Rangers. They're going for it. You know, there's very, very little that you can even conceive of. I mean, Nick Pivetta is going to be a free agent. The Red Sox aren't going to consider themselves out of the division yet. That's just an example of like the conversations you end up in. To me, there are two teams who might realistically be interested early in making a deal. And one is the Cleveland Guardians with Shane Bieber and Carlos Carrasco. Bieber was great on opening day. To me, it's like Bieber's a free agent at the end of the year. Every start that Bieber makes is a little bit of an injury scare, akin to the way we talked about the White Sox and Dylan Cease. If you really were going to trade him, then you needed to trade him before the season. Cleveland, if they're really going to trade Shane Bieber, then at some point it becomes diminishing returns, where you're costing yourself a start for the team that's trading for him, and you're risking injury every time you throw him out there. Are they going to consider such things when they're in a division that is, you know, gettable theoretically? I don't think they'll consider it early, but you certainly make that call and check in. Hey, when are you guys going to consider that, by the way? Just so I know whether to check back in. But they've got you over a barrel now. Early in the season, it's big-time seller's market. The only other team that with unrestricted free agents to be on the pitching staff that might make some sense is the New York Mets. But one of those, Luis Severino, is trying to prove it there with the Mets, just got absolutely destroyed in his debut. Given up, I think it was 6 earned runs. So, look, there's very little that you're going to be able to entertain and get done. You're going to have to deal internally. And I loved seeing the call-up of Ben Brown. Not Hayden Wesneski, not Thomas Pannone, who's a lefty who could certainly give you, you know, 4, 5, maybe 6 innings. He's a starting pitcher in the bigs. But Ben Brown, who, if given a chance in the rotation, has the stuff to really miss bats and be very, very good.
Oh, hell yeah.
Last night was obviously very bumpy, and we'll talk about his debut specifically in our next segment, okay? But just know that that was aggressive in-house, more aggressive than Wesneski or Pannone, or just bringing up somebody to be in the bullpen. I mean, although Ben Brown might, I mean, hell, he might be in the bullpen. We'll see how this is going to get played. He was certainly in the bullpen last night. I expect him to get a start the next time that spot comes up. I could be wrong, and maybe we'll see Smiley in a bullpen game, but I think there are some benefits to the way that Ben Brown got his debut last night. But let's discuss what's going on with the Cubs and the White Sox. I want to talk about it with you. Obviously, these first 2 days retroactively make the off-season strategy look bad. When the quote is there from Jed Hoyer the day before the season begins, that we know we're going to have to use our depth at some point, and then literally, you know, 14 hours later, you're watching Steele hobble off and knowing you're in a lot of trouble, because that's your ace. That is your only real top-of-the-rotation pitcher that you can feel great about right now. So retroactively, it does not make the offseason plan look great. Jordan Montgomery, obviously Blake Snell, these were options, but we found out from Jed that they were not options in terms of when the Boris Four was still out there. They chose Bellinger. And Jed said the other day with Mully and Haw, they were not going to be able to get two of those guys. They were able to get one, and they chose Bellinger. They're going to spend more money this year. It was going to be at the trade deadline. You know, it might have to be a hell of a lot sooner than that. We'll see if it's even possible. Matt Spiegel is me. Hit and Run is where you are. You, the listeners, 312-644-6767. Hop on in. Let's talk Cubs. Let's talk White Sox. Garrett Cooper at 945. Steve Stone at 10. Your calls and your texts all morning long on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
We're back with more Hit and Run.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball.
On 670 The Score.
No crying.
Well, you probably heard the news. The Cubs placing Justin Steele on the 15-day injury list earlier today. And taking his place on the roster, Ben Brown. Ben Brown acquired from the Phillies by the Cubs in the deal that saw David Robertson being traded from the Cubs to the Phillies about two or three summers ago. And so Ben Brown will be on the mound right here. He has pitched several games in the minor leagues, but this is his big league debut for the Chicago Cubs, Ben Brown.
I got a chance to see him throw a few ball games in spring training. In his last couple outings as a starter, they were outstanding. Just dominant, big fastball, good breaking pitch, but very live arm, mid-90s at least fastball.
Pat and Ron talking about Ben Brown. Yeah, Ben Brown, a 33rd round draft pick. And goodness, it was exciting yesterday early in the morning when you saw that Ben Brown was the call-up and was coming to Texas to play with the Cubs. Sean Sears, our producer here on Hit and Run. I, of course, am Matt Spiegel. We'll talk to Garrett Cooper in about 20 minutes, Cubs first baseman. We'll get to know him a little bit. But, Sean, you were psyched to see Ben Brown come up, right? That's aggressive, and that's a good sign.
Yeah. It's exactly what you were just saying. It's you want to see the Cubs start using these players. They're getting to the point now where it's time to kind of figure out who are going to be pieces on this Cubs team. Ben Brown's one of those guys who, I think if things had gone a little bit better for him towards the end of the season last year, would have been a guy that debuted last year. So it's
yeah,
nice
if he stayed healthy, Sean, if he stayed healthy, he was going
to
be a bullpen option in September, and that might have affected that Cubs slide, that's for sure. We had Boog Shambi on Parkins and Spiegel the other day, and we were talking about Craig Counsell's comfort with bringing up kids. Think of the Brewers' young teams over the past several years, and every year, even last year, boy, Bryce Terang looks good. Boy, Sal Frelick looks good. Oh, who are these guys? There's a crossover between the need to be efficient, as the Brewers have been, in terms of their salary, their payroll, and their budget, and also a willingness and a comfort to work with young players. So, look, Owen Casey has started out at AAA 5-for-6. You know that Pete Crow Armstrong is an option at some point, as he was last year. Matt Shaw will be an option at third base. We are already seeing Ben Brown. I will be surprised if the Cubs are in it and looking viable in the second half of the year if we don't see Cade Horton. Frankly, I'll be surprised if we don't. But, you know, we'll see. That one's a little further away. He's not even on the 40-man. Kevin Alcantara? I don't know. There are a lot of young options that you will see up quickly, because that has to be the plan when you didn't go out and decide to spend like a true behemoth and go out and get over that first tier of the tax right now. So, look, let's talk about Ben Brown's debut. It was rough, but he is not alone. I've got some awesome comps from our guy Chris Kampka that I'll get to in a minute. But the first inning looked pretty damn good. Here's Ben Brown dealing with Josh Young of the Rangers.
And the next offering swung on and missed. Nice changeup by Ben Brown. Ben looking over at the batter saying, "You ain't nothing but a hound dog."
And there you have it right there. Boy, after some really good fastballs inside, one away, and then the off-speed pitch down and away, had Young well out in front.
I don't know the context of the Elvis reference. This is fun. Sometimes you come in and you catch little bits of it. For instance, if anybody knows the answer to what was in our open with Pat Hughes saying the other one is Virgil Trucks, anybody knows the context of that, please text in at 312-644-6767, because I've got some great Virgil Trucks information that I'd like to share, but I need to know the context of why his name came up on the Cubs game last night and in our open this morning here on Hit and Run. So first inning, Ben Brown, He gets out of that inning and looks pretty damn good. Second inning, with that strikeout, second inning was an absolute disaster, capped off by another Josh Young at bat.
Now Brown glances back at the runner and deals. This ball is drilled in the air, deep left field. It's going to be a long home run. Second deck. Young, a two-run homer, and the Rangers have broken the game wide open with a six-run rally here in the eighth inning, and they lead 11-2.
An inning and two-thirds total for Ben Brown in his big league debut. 5 hits, 6 runs. They were all earned. 2 walks, 1 strikeout, and gave up that 1 home run. There was some shady defense behind him. Dansby Swanson got eaten alive by a real hot liner and got an error. It's a tough error. I thought, for Dansby Swanson. Then there was a Marcus Semien line drive to third baseman Christopher Morel that went off his glove with the bases loaded. And that was not an error, right? I know it wasn't scored an error at the beginning. Did they take the error away from Dansby as well? I see no errors on the official scorecard. So that's interesting. They must have taken it away. So, because I heard it scored an error at first, and they must have reversed it. I heard Pat and Ron was in the car for that, and I heard Ron say, I bet whoever scored that, the official scorer, has never played played shortstop in the big leagues. That's what he said. It's very funny. But the Morel one off the glove, it's a hot line drive. I know you can't give the error there, but man, bases loaded. That's a double play. You know, for a good, experienced third baseman, grab it, and you'll catch a runner, whether it's off your own base and you dive over and tag the base, or you throw over to first. I mean, that is a double play. Hell, if it was a little softer, that's how triple plays happen. I'm not saying that Christopher Morel dropped a triple play. I would let it go through his glove. But I am saying that's a play you have to make.
I might be, though.
That was a triple play? Did you think it was a triple play?
When it came off the bat, at first I was like, oh man, maybe. I was like, for sure, yeah. Double play. And then
Too hot. Usually a triple play line drive is hit like awkwardly soft where it throws off the base runners. That's really what you need, right?
You need some type of...
Yeah, some odd little, like a broken bat, half bloop kind of thing is when it happens, unless everybody's moving absurdly quick. But anyway, Ben Brown, a rough start. You'll hear Kyle Hendricks in a minute with great context on it. But I asked our guy, Chris Kampka, via text this morning. And Chris Kampka, now at Marquee, he will be joining the show this year at different times. But he's got a full-time traveling baseball job with the Marquee broadcast, working with Boog. And I'm thrilled for Chris Kampka. First time traveling with a team, having moved over from NBC Sports Chicago. And that's a big milestone in and of itself. You grow up and you want to be a baseball guy. Kampka now traveling with the Cubs and the broadcast as a baseball guy. I'm thrilled for him, man. That's just so cool. But I texted him this morning and said, okay, we know this is Ben Brown's first game of, he hopes, a lot. It's a brutal MLB debut. What's the best career for anyone who's had a stat line this bad in his debut? That was my question. 1 2/3. 6 runs all earned. So he looked at this. I decided to look at 3 or fewer innings pitched, 5-plus runs allowed in debuts since 1990. Those are the parameters that Kampka chose. And you look down and you see that among players who had a god-awful debut and went on to long and good MLB careers, like you hope Ben Brown will, Carlos Carrasco of Cleveland, Matt Garza, the former Cub and Ray, John Garland, absolutely torched in his debut with the White Sox. 3 innings, 8 hits, 7 earned runs in 2000 and went on to a very fine career and a World Series champ. How about Chris Carpenter, the great Blue Jay and Cardinals starting pitcher, torched in his debut? It happens. Then a couple relievers with good long careers. LaTroy Hawkins, the former Cub, who's now in the Twins front office. Julian Tavares had a good long career as a reliever, torched in his debut. Hell, Steve Avery back in the day in 1990, the young Brave, had a terrible debut and a pretty good, if short, career. So anyway, Ben Brown, a lot more coming. Here is Kyle Hendricks talking about Ben Brown's debut and what he saw last night.
It was so awesome just to see him get out there, man. And that first inning with nails, things happen, you know, starts going fast on you. My first inning, I walk three guys, I get up three runs. So there's a lot that happens there. It was so cool to see him out there. He's going to have such a long career, man. You know, get comfortable up here. And this is just the first of many. So he's got a lot left.
First of many, he's got a lot left. That's great perspective right there from Kyle Hendricks on the Ben Brown debut. Let's take a couple of your phone calls here. In a moment, but I'm told that Virgil Trucks was being talked about as being one of four pitchers to have thrown two no-hitters in the same season. Got it. That's awesome. Virgil Trucks had an incredible fastball. Ted Williams used to say that Virgil Trucks had the toughest fastball for him to hit, but that's not why I wanted to tell you about Virgil Trucks. Virgil Trucks, the pitcher, a very good pitcher for Detroit first, and he bounced around, was a White Sox pitcher briefly in the 50s. But he was the uncle of a guy named Butch Trucks, who is a founding member of the Allman Brothers Band. And any Allman Brothers fans out there probably know the name Butch Trucks. Virgil Trucks' great nephews are Dwayne Trucks, who was in the band Widespread Panic, and Derek Trucks, who is in a great band called the Tedeschi Trucks Band with his wife, Susan Tedeschi, and was also in the Allman Brothers Band for a while. And one of the greatest, you know, slide guitarists, one of the greatest jam band guitarists on the planet is Derek Trucks. So that's Virgil Trucks' great nephews. That's right in my wheelhouse, man. And for you, the overlappers who join me sometimes on a Sunday morning, the music people and the baseball people, Virgil Trucks and his nephew Butch and his grandnephew Derek is an essential part of our lexicon. Let's go to John in Naperville on 670 The Score. John, let's talk some Cubs, White Sox, and MLB here on Hit and Run. Good morning.
Good morning, Speaks. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Wanted to talk a little bit about the Cubs. You know, Council's done a great job. Ben Brown is going to be a huge part of this staff, so I'm not worried about that. But I wanted to get your opinion on the Cubs' pitching landscape. This pitching-to-contact mentality, is that going to work in today's Major League Baseball landscape? Because it feels like when I'm watching them, they have to play an absolute perfect game. They have to prioritize defense, and I just don't know if it's feasible to do play like that an entire season against a juggernaut like Texas or a team that can really hit. I just want your opinion on whether or not this is viable for the entire season.
You know, it's thanks, John. It's tough to feel great about it, frankly, at this point, because now you've lost Steele. Last year, we talked about it a lot, but the defense was terrific. Now this year, you're making some sacrifices for defense when you play Morel out there, because developmentally, it makes sense to give him a shot and see if you can find a position for him, because he needs to play every single day that he's healthy enough to play. I will say this, Shota Imanaga has a lot of swing and miss in his game. And we'll see it. It might not be in some of the classic ways you think, with like the fastball blowing people away. It will sometimes on the high end of the zone, but he's got a wide arsenal. And remember, he struck out more than Yamamoto did in Japan last year. Also, Jordan Wicks has a ton of swing and miss in his game because that changeup is so awesome. So let's get a couple times through the order with Imanaga and with Wicks and maybe with Brown if he does start. And then let's look at where they actually are. But in terms of front of the rotation, blow guys away, bat misser like Garrett Cole or, you know, those people, yeah, they need one. Thing is, Blake Snell's not really that dude. Jordan Montgomery is a little bit more of that dude. I mean, Snell is sort of, I suppose. But, like, I don't love Blake Snell because he walks a lot of dudes. He walks a lot of guys. Montgomery, I would have been happy with that signing, for sure. But they're going to trade for one, or they're going to call up the ones they have in-house. Cade Horton is that guy. So I think we know that stuff is coming. We just don't know exactly when, and now it needs to be more aggressive. One more call. This is Mike in Mendota Mike, you're on 670 The Score with Spiegs here on Hit and Run.
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm good.
Good to hear you on a Sunday morning with baseball season back in.
Thanks, man. Good to be here.
I have a detailed question, maybe even a little bit early to be asking this, but I noticed last night that Ben Brown, while he came from the minors with some really good stats, his fastball got pounded last night. And it looked on TV, I watched every pitch he threw, and it looked like his fastball, while he had good velocity, it was flat with little or no movement. And I'm wondering if you get a chance to talk to Hoddeby, if they're going to work on developing some two-seam pitch or cutter or something with his velocity being very good, if he can get some late movement on those pitches, because these major league hitters can hit 95 if it's level and if it's flat.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. That's one night and one look in the debut, and who knows if the nerves were kicking in and a very good lineup. Let's give that some time. The fastball for Ben Brown, he's got a very high release point. He's obviously got that good velocity, but it is supposed to have a decent amount of movement. It is purported to have a decent amount of movement. So it, in terms of what it actually does, you know, let's give it a couple of outings to see what the Savant numbers tell us about the spin rate and the movement, and give ourselves a chance to check him out a little bit more. Usually if you're throwing it that high, it's got a lot of spin because it resists the gravity a bit more. And so it's got some of that ride, some of that carry, that absence of drop. I agree. It didn't look a ton like that last night, but let's give that a little time. Callers, hang on. Thank you so much for calling in. It's Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, here on 670 The Score. Steve Stone on the White Sox at the top of the hour. Let's get to know Garrett Cooper, Cubs first baseman, a guy who's been around the bigs for a while. We'll talk to him next on Hit and Run.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Darvish ready. Here comes the 2-2. Uh-oh. That one hammered to left. Darvish with Schwarber back there looking, and that one is gone. Garrett Cooper will touch them all as he deposits it into the bleachers, and the Marlins have jumped out 1-0 on the blast by Cooper. How about that?
Well, Cooper has missed a couple of hanging sliders today, but he doesn't miss this one. And with that wind blowing straight in from left field, I can't tell you how centered he must have hit this ball. I mean, that ball should have probably come back into the ballpark and just barely gets out. But wow, what a big blow for the Marlins.
That is our guest, Garrett Cooper, with a home run as a member of the Marlins at Wrigley Field. As Garrett Cooper, the Cubs first baseman, joins us right now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It's been a few years, Garrett. It'd be nice to hit one as a member of the Cubs starting tomorrow or later this week, huh?
Yeah, we're just, hitting that one in Chicago. There's always some sort of, destiny to come back and play for the Cubs after that home run against them.
Yeah, that's the last postseason home run at Wrigley Field at this point. So we're going to need you to hit one as a Cub later on this year. Is that okay?
Yeah, we'll try and do that.
All right, good. Garrett Cooper joins us, the longtime Miami Marlin, a Padre as well. Made his debut with the Yankees. We'll get to all of that. But youngest of seven, fifth boy to play baseball in the family. I'm the baby. I'm youngest of five. Kind of nice to be the youngest, in my opinion.
It is. You're definitely treated a little bit differently than everybody else in the family.
Yeah. And then in high school, how good was Giancarlo Stanton in high school, Garrett?
Oh, man. Oh, he had a guard him in basketball, and I played football as well. What he is today, that kind of beast, he was about maybe 10 pounds less in high school and about the same stature and trying to guard that in basketball. And I'm not small by any means, but he definitely pushed me around like it was nothing.
Yeah, 6'5", 235 is Garrett Cooper now, according to Baseball Reference, but Giancarlo Stanton with that physicality, it's kind of, you ever see Derrick Henry, the running back for the Titans in high school, that footage?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. So that must have been what it was like, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Giancarlo was back squatting, 650 or whatever Derrick Henry was on those videos, but I'm sure it was pretty close in Stanton's prime days.
Yeah. So 4 years in the Brewers organization after being drafted there. In those Milwaukee years, how much did you deal with Craig Counsell on the way up? He was in the front office, I think, for the first couple of those years. And then the manager. So did you guys had a relationship? I'm sure.
Yeah, we definitely in spring training. I think he was there. Yeah, he was there most of the time. I think even 14, 15, 16, and 17. When I went over to the big league camp and spring training, we got to know each other and got acquainted with him, and I think having that kind of, familiarity with a coach and with the manager, definitely played into the decision of, choosing the Cubs and, coming on board here. And, just feel like I made a great decision coming here.
Good. You made your debut with the Yankees after a trade there at Fenway Park against the Red Sox. That's incredible. Butterflies at that point?
Oh man, I honestly, I don't even remember the first game because it was just, it felt like it wasn't real, going from AAA and Colorado Springs, to Fenway as the Yankees Red Sox rivalry. I don't even know if, a kid could, even put into words, what that moment was like to do it, especially like a park like Fenway and, that rivalry. But I think the 0-for-4 with three punchies in my first game in the big leagues. Yankees fans weren't too happy with, with how I started my career there. So, it took a couple games to get a hit, but I felt like I played really well there, and yeah, it was a fun experience to be a part of the Yankees. That legacy.
0-for-4 with three punch outs. Well, that's good news for Ben Brown, who went, 1 2/3, gave up 6 runs. It's like sometimes your first one can hurt a little bit, but I mean, you've been in the big leagues for 8 years, made an all-star game. Ben Brown's got a lot of good ball in front of him, right?
Yeah, you take that and move on. It's a learning experience. You're facing the defending world champions. The lineup is a very good hitting lineup. You just tell them, you want to soak it in, the experience, but, he probably felt, that was a tough outing, but, he's got plenty of years ahead of him, 10 plus years of, with that velo and, that curveball, it's small adjustments, and, he'll have a long career.
So Garrett Cooper is with us, the Cubs first baseman. Every time your name gets mentioned, my producer on the afternoon show, because I do Monday through Friday, 2 to 6, Chris Tannehill, he immediately reaches for his favorite folder of sound clips, and it's from The Sopranos, and he always plays this.
And I always wonder what happened to Gary Cooper, the strong, silent type.
So every time your name gets mentioned, and I wonder if you ever went by Gary, or if you had to deal with Gary Cooper coming up in your life that much.
Yeah, I think it's honestly been more, prevalent as in the big leagues when a lot of people, bring out that scene. I've heard that scene and for about 8 years now. So it's definitely, a lot of people like to use that and social media and stuff. But, I never went by Gary. I was always Coop or Coopaloop, growing up. So that was always my nickname.
Wow. So other markets, other like radio markets have gone to The Sopranos for that exact scene?
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. It's pride of the Yankees, Gary Cooper. He considered himself the luckiest man on the face of the earth as Lou Gehrig. You could do worse. Yeah. Oh, God. Garrett Cooper, does it feel like there's a fit here? You know, I mean, obviously you were battling with Dominic Smith and we're figuring out what they were going to do with Alexander Canario. And now Patrick Wisdom's hurt and he'll come back at some point. Like, how does it feel as a fit? And what are you hoping for?
Yeah, you know, I think anytime, you know, as a free agent in the offseason where you're making a decision where, you know, you think the best opportunity is, you know, to come in and, you know, win a job essentially on an NRI is never an easy thing. You know, playing 7 years up here, you know, I felt like I've done a lot of good things in my career, but, you know, especially just talking with, you know, Jed and Carter and, you know, in the off season and listening to what they had to say and, you know, just, I think there's a fit and, you know, I ran with that fit and, you know, we're here right now. And, you know, I think as the year progresses on, you know, facing lefties and, you know, DHing and, you know, anytime, you know, Bushy has, you know, a day off, you know, get in there first. And, you know, I think it's been a great fit so far. And, you know, I don't like to look in too far into things in advance. I'm not that type of guy. And, you know, you just take it day by day, you know, whatever happens, happens. And, you know, you never take a day for granted up here in the big leagues because it is a tough league and, you know, there's a lot of good players up here. So, you know, you just try to take it day by day and make sure, you know, you're doing all you can that day. So, you know, definitely the fit here is great. And all the guys here are great and coaching staff, everyone I've, you know, come in contact with in the last month or so is, you know, it's been a good ride so far. So just got to get that first win out of the way.
All right, good stuff, Garrett Cooper. Well, welcome. Nice to get to meet you a little bit. I'm sorry that Yale took care of Auburn in the first round of the tournament. Your alma mater.
That was a tough one.
Yeah, there's no Yaleys around the Cubs, I don't think, anymore. Craig Breslow's gone. Theo's gone. Like, those were the Yale guys who might give you crap. So I think you're safe.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard. I had them going pretty far in my bracket, too. So it was a first-day exit, you know, tough loss.
Garrett, enjoy yourself here and enjoy tomorrow for that home opener, man. I'll try to say hello. It's a special day.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
You got it. That's Garrett Cooper joining us. And by us, I mean me, Matt Spiegel.
And I always wonder what happened to Gary Cooper, the strong, silent type.
I you know, Tanny's going to be crushed that other radio markets have had that same idea for Garrett Cooper, you know? I'll break it to him gently. He's on a weekend vacation away. But I think he'll be okay. I think he'll survive. Enjoyed that. All right, let's flip the script here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. A couple hours to go. Happy Easter, by the way. Steve Stone will join us for our first conversation of the year with Stoney. Let's talk about Luis Robert, the superstar, on display and ask some Michael Kopech relief questions and more. To Steve Stone next on Hit and Run.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.